Hi, and welcome to this month's episode of the Cure Talks Cancer Podcast, Nursing Edition. Once a month, sister publications Cure Magazine and Oncology Nursing News will come together for a podcast on topics that affect both cancer survivors and oncology nurses. For this month's episode, we'll hear from Angela Hammack, who goes the extra mile, literally, for patients with cancer. Her love of running and dedication to her patients has led her to raise over $100,000 through various races that benefit cancer research. In 2017, Hammack, who was also a finalist for the 2019 Extraordinary Healer Award, ran 100 miles for the cause.
I ended up in oncology, as I say, totally kind of by accident through one of my nursing school friends, and interviewed and talked with the administrator and the nurse manager. And as I got into it and started learning about it and more, I knew nothing about oncology. I had been a nurse for, 10 years already, and got to talking to them and realized that compared to what I was doing at the time, which was I was a trauma nurse, and that it was still a very high energy, very involved field, and that what I liked about it, what drew me to it and really converted me over, was that it is kind of like a living, breathing, ever-changing, that it's not anything old, it's not stagnant, it's ever-changing, it's flowing. We're doing great things, we're making great strides, we're seeing patients live longer, we're seeing more cures. It's just exciting. It's an exciting time in being able to get to know your patients and to help them and to see them along the continuum of their journey and to develop those relationships with the patients is just exciting, and it just fills your heart and it gives purpose into what you're doing in trying to make a difference.
So, when and how did you decide to start running marathons to raise money to help support cancer research and care?
I was trying to lose some weight. So the way I got into running, marathons and doing it for charity, I wanted to get into running and I wanted to do a marathon. My first goal was to do a half marathon. I wanted to get into running and to do a half marathon. That was a long distance. And so I found out about the Leukemia and the Lymphoma Society and realized that they had this endurance training program called Team and Training. And I thought, what better way than to take this and use it to benefit someone else? And so I did the first half marathon in Maui. And, what a way to start. A great team and had a lot of fun. And I decided then that I wanted to do a marathon before I turned 40. Again, it was more of a promotion run for our local chapter, but there was a new marathon in town, which was the Mississippi Blues Marathon. It was going to be their first year, and we were going to do it as a promotional, and so I was like, okay, let's do a marathon. And I was going to be able to do it before I turned 40. So we promoted Team and Training. We had a team that year. I finished it. It was the craziest thing. It was cold. But we had a great time, and again, I was like, I can do something with this. I can help raise money, help raise awareness. The more that we can get out and we can talk about oncology and cancer and the needs of our patients, whether it be financial, whether it be supportive, whether it be, organizations or support offering to them, then we need to do that. Advocacy work, whatever we can do to be a voice that, to talk about what's going on and to share our stories, to bring awareness and, promote advocacy and get others involved, is what we need to do. It comes back and benefits everybody.
You've run more than one of these, but a 100-mile race. So let's talk about that. What's it like to train and run something that long?
So to train and run a 100-miler is a little crazy, especially if somebody of my caliber. I'm not a fast runner. I'm slow. I have asthma, so I have an obstacle to overcome. And again, it was, I had run marathons. I had raised money through marathons and team and training, and we had done groups for the Fight for Air Climb for the Leukemia Lymphoma Society. We had done the stair climb for the American Lung Association. We've done the Susan G. Komen 5 and 10K walks and runs. You know, so we had had teams and groups that had done this, and I had done marathons, like I said, through team and training with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. But I wanted to do something different. And I'm part of the Cancer League for Jackson, Mississippi, and we have a gala each year that benefits the American Cancer Society. And so I wanted to do something big that would raise money for the American Cancer Society, and was kind of thinking, okay, what's the next thing that I can do that would raise awareness that we could talk about, that, you know, would get people talking about, you know, what we're doing and why we're doing it. That's the most important thing, is why are we doing this? Why are we in this fight? Why are we on this journey? I had a friend that had done a 100-miler. I was like, okay, I sent her a message. I was like, okay, I've got 5 months. It's like, can I train for this 100-miler in 5 months? And she's like, absolutely. So I found one that was close to home, so I could take a support team, because I knew I was going to need support, because you run continuously. There are aid stations where you stop, you can change socks, shoes, clothes, whatever, pick up more nutrition that you're going to take along, but that, you know, they can only see you at certain spots. You have drop bags that have your things that you need in them. There's aid stations along the way. But so I knew I was going to have a team, so I wanted to make it feasible for them. I typically run better in the cooler weather, so I actually happened to find one, and I think it's God's divine plan, in that it was the weekend of my 50th birthday. So I was like, that's it. It was in the neighboring state of Louisiana, in the Coosatchee National Forest, just outside of Natchitoches, Louisiana. And I was like, okay, guys, I'm going to need a team. This is where we're going. It was a 4-hour drive. We could do this. Leave on Friday, run on Saturday, get finished on Sunday, drive back. I'll take a day off on Monday, and I'll be back at work on Tuesday. So started training, long hour, long runs, multiple days of long runs, like running, you know, anywhere from 15 to 20 miles a day, 3 days in a row, road runs, trail runs, staying up all night, you know, what you could eat, making sure that you could drink, just being prepared for, you know, what you were going to encounter, being prepared for changes in weather, having to pack and prepare your bags that there could be rain, there could be cold, there could be heat. You know, we live in the South, you never know, just wait, and the next day it's going to be, you know, 30 degrees different one way or the other. So being prepared for the weather changes. February the 3rd, we left. We started running on the 4th, running through the dark in the woods, terrain, having to be careful, having a little bitty headlamp with, you know, about, you know, just a little square of light to run with, being out in the woods by yourself until you can pick up your pacer at mile 56. It was amazing, is the only way to describe it. The being out there and thinking about, why am I doing this? There was one point in time I was like, if I quit, they'll understand. I'm tired. If I quit, they'll understand. You know, praying about it and like, you know, it'll be okay if I quit. But then it was like, there's nothing wrong with you. You can do this. And it was like, I picked it up and I was determined that we were going to finish this. So then I got to this point that I could pick up my pacer. And we started out on a journey. And we had recently done a marathon together. And 13 miles, it took us as long to do that 13 miles through the rough terrain in the forest as it had taken us to do a whole marathon, almost. And then she was blessed to find out 2 weeks later she was pregnant. So our little Amelia survived, you know, a night in the woods before we ever knew that Kim was going to have little Amelia. And then at midnight, Kim, being the little encourager that she was, she literally talked to me for 5 hours, sang to me at midnight, happy birthday. Of course, I was frustrating her. She enjoyed it because she got to boss me around. She's one of the nurses that I helped train. So she's a coworker and a very dear friend, and was very dedicated to me that night. But literally talked to me for 5 hours, encouraged me. I would frustrate her because I didn't want to eat, because I was like, no, just give me something to drink. And she's like, no, you need to eat. So lots of excitement, lots of emotions, lots of crazy thoughts in your head in the middle of the night when you've been up all day. But I knew what the journey was for. I knew why we were doing this, and it was really what carried me through and got me through to the very end and across that finish line with that.
Were you fueled by thoughts of your patients, specific patients?
So going through that in any marathon, the reason why I've done it, whether I'm actually fundraising at the time or not fundraising at the time, I'm always doing it and talking about oncology and my patients. This morning, even on my run, they are with me. I feel their love and support, prayers through from my patients, from their family members and caregivers that have supported me along the way. You know, I try to blog about things that are going along. When I did the Dopey Challenge the first time, we raised money for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, and I blogged about that on Facebook. And while going through the run, would take pictures and stop and take pictures and post, you know, here where we are, here's what we do, here's the song of the morning, here's the motivational, you know, verse for the day, this is how I'm getting my day started, here's where we are, here's the fun things that we're doing, but all to raise awareness and to stop and remind people that this is why we're doing this. That we need to find a cure, that we need to provide support, we need advocacy and legislation that helps and benefits our oncology patients. So yes, I always feel that. I have to be very careful with my asthma in that usually if I get emotional, it affects my breathing. And so I have to be careful about getting emotional because I do think about that, and I do think about, you know, why we have done this, the journey that we have all been on, and I do become emotional. It doesn't take a whole lot that when you start feeling that, because nobody's in this alone. We're all in this together.
Tune in next month for the next nursing edition of the Cure Talks Cancer Podcast. Check us out at onknursingnews.com and never miss a beat in the field of oncology nursing.